is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to The Masters of None.
Masters of None.
There's another podcast out there called Masters of None. Check them out. They're very funny guys.
Craft Radio.
This is Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to Masters of None.
A comedy podcast that doesn't suck.
Masters of None. We talk about and debate the best and worst of pop culture, man. Interview celebs and often make offensive jokes.
This is a comedy podcast that they say doesn't suck.
Okay. Masters of None.
Brought to you by the Simply Syndicated Network, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and live on morelikeradio.com.
Hey, everybody. It's Art for the Masters of None show, season 12. And with me, as always, is Mike.
Hi.
And Jay.
Welcome back, everybody. I mean, nice. Welcome us back to you.
Got
or
it.
Something.
Welcome what? Back, Kata.
Yeah.
It's great to be back. Thanks.
Up your nose with a rubber hose.
I'm excited to be back.
Yes.
How was your holidays?
It was great. How about you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, all good. No complaints.
That's
excellent.
First.
Yeah, you started. Well, before we even get into this, let's just say that at the end of this episode, you're going to hear our interview with Hank Azaria. We're going to talk about his new web series on AOL about fatherhood and some Simpsons stuff. And Mike and Hank actually kind of break bread about acting.
Yeah.
So yeah, yeah. I love how he got involved in that conversation. So definitely stick around for that because I thought it was great.
Just a couple of professionals discussing some things.
Before you get into anything else, you know, the holidays and all that, but Jay, kind of a transition for you. You got a new job, right?
Yeah, I think I had it before we ended last season, didn't we? No? Maybe not.
For those, it was like a cliffhanger.
Starting,
it was a cliffhanger.
Yeah, I wasn't really sure what you were doing, but now you're a full bore in. You're
knee-deep. Yeah, it's awesome. Living the beer world. Mm. See what I did there? I incorporated the name of the place I work and what I...
Oh, okay. I see what you did there.
Yeah. Oof. No, it's fucking awesome. It's a total dream job.
Yeah.
It's the best.
What do you exactly have to do? Like, do you just... You have the run of the place?
Drink?
Technically, I'm the marketing director, but it's... Yeah, I do a little bit of everything. Customer service, marketing, all the web stuff, bringing in new breweries to sell, selling... beer to different bars, all kinds of shit.
You guys lock the doors at night and have beer fights?
Absolutely.
Like,
it looks like an 80s Catholic girls' school car wash movie.
All right. You get wet t-shirts.
Yeah, totally.
Great. That's cool,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it's awesome. Fucking fantastic. Loving it.
Wow. Dream jobs.
Well done, man. Talk about the dream job or the job that fits you, right?
Yep.
Yeah, totally, dude.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I think I said it on the show like not too long ago when I was like, dude, you should do something with beer. And you're like, nah. That was the best. You're like, I just like drinking it. Nah. And now here we are.
I didn't think it. It just came along, man. It's crazy. Like, yeah. I wasn't looking for it. Just kind of happened.
Damn.
And it rules.
Yeah. It's definitely fun doing something you like.
Absolutely.
Yes, that sir. Helps. Yeah. Definitely helps.
No doubt.
Guys, if you do something you love, you never work a day in your life.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, hello. Nice.
Thanks, Uncle
Jay. You teach a lot of people to fish.
I read that on the back of an 83 El Camino.
Nice.
It's like so true, 83 El Camino guy.
Yeah.
So true.
So what are we doing? What are we talking about?
To coincide with the Super Bowl, we're going to be, or the big game, sorry, the big game. We're going to... Nice. You just said lawsuit, right?
Yep.
Well, we got someone that works for the NFL now, so we're good.
Yeah.
You have jackets and gloves and scarves and...
Oh, you got to see all my shit.
Oh.
Look at all my shit. Yo, wait. Yeah. Okay, wait. Before we get started, have you guys seen Spring Breakers?
Yes.
No.
Oh, it's fucking fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's the worst...
train wreck.
It is a train wreck, but it is great to watch it.
When I was so just many like, titties. So many titties.
There's at least like 13 titties in that movie. And
who's the odd one out?
Yeah. This is a cancer victim. It was really
Selena
terrible.
Gomez.
Yeah. Director was just like, James Franco, a room full of stuff, go. 20 minutes. And that was it.
Did he don the Green Goblin costume at all?
He just started pointing at shit, going, "Look at my shit! Look at all my shit! I got fucking staplers! I got fucking guns! Look at all my shit!" That was 20 minutes of this fucking movie. It was great.
Go see my ones. Go see my guns. Get it?
So good, dude. So good.
Nice. So what we're doing to coincide with the big game, we're gonna do the top 8.5 NFL nicknames for players.
Woo!
And then we'll have the interview with Hank Azaria. And then...
No one knows.
Yeah, you just go home, I guess. You stop listening.
Stop.
So this is my idea, and if it blows chunks, it's just my fault, so...
Blows chunks. Nice. I haven't heard that in one in a while.
Yep, bringing it back.
What is this, the Goonies?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, the big game coming up. Art, you're going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be there.
Yep.
I'm doing a Kickstarter to raise $800 so I can go to the game.
Okay.
Oh, dude, that's a good idea. Maybe I should do that.
Kickstarter?
Yeah. You think our fans would kick in for me to go to the Super Bowl? Because I don't want to be left out.
They'd be thinking it's the wrong type of football.
Right.
What you'll hear in the next episode.
True.
Flash forward.
Oh, look at that.
We definitely have to do a Super Bowl like post show with you guys.
Okay.
To get both your perspectives as a fan going to the game and then as someone behind the scenes. I think that'd be really cool.
That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we can do that.
And then me as just a schmuck who's fucking watching at home with all the rest of the
I
fucking
I don't think it's a schmuck role, dude. You'll be warm.
Yeah, I think you get. I think you get the best.
You
of
have
the,
a nice hookup on your TV.
The three, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
You got the robots that serve you food. It's great.
Oh yeah, I forgot about those. Top 8.5 NFL nicknames of all time.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, I'll start off with my 0.5 or 8.5. Butthead.
I never heard that one. Who's that?
Really?
Yeah.
Your favorite team's place kicker, which is Robbie Gould, but his predecessor from during like the 85 Monsters of the Midway type of thing, Kevin Butler.
Kevin Butler.
I gave
Butler,
it to him
because
I didn't know if that was his nickname that he liked, but a lot of people on the Bears always called him Butthead. So that's my 0.5.
Love that.
My 0.5 is actually like 5 different nicknames for the same guy who wasn't even really popular.
Oh, nice. If it's the same guy that I got, you may be picking my number one. You may be picking my number one right now. Go ahead.
Spoilers.
Is it Jared Lorenzen?
Yeah.
From New York?
Yeah.
So my 0.5 is your number one.
Fucking love every one of his nicknames. They're fantastic.
Go ahead. Then you go, because you're a Giants fan. So you tell the tale of Jared Lorenzen.
Jared Lorenzen was drafted by the Giants. He's a Kentucky quarterback coming in at a whopping 315 pounds as a quarterback. He had many, many nicknames, all having to do with his massive, massive girth. Some of my favorites, Quarter Got Back, the Hefty Lefty, the Pillsbury Throwboy, the Abominable Throwman, J-Load, which is my favorite, J-Load.
Awful
round mound of touchdown. Nice. The tubby gunslinger. BBQ as in big beautiful quarterback. Battleship Lorenzen. Butterball, Lord of the Ring Dings, and He Ate Me. He's the greatest because he did nothing but be fat and have a million nicknames.
He like played like 5 plays in his whole career.
He's the greatest. He sucks. Oh, that's fucking great.
That's hilarious that that's your number one.
Oh, yeah. Just because the nicknames are fucking beautiful.
Yeah. There's a lot of these. I don't know about if you guys did any kind of this research at all or anything along the lines, but I was thinking about my list. I'm like, there's just so many of them, and some of them are just really bad, and then some of them are just, I think, nowadays are just there to, like, market more type of, you know, shirts and sneakers and
oh,
all that.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
I don't know.
My 8.5, I picked as an 8.5 only because he had two. It's the only time that I think a player has two well-known nicknames. And that would be for Deion Sanders.
That's my number two.
Nice.
That's my number one.
Of course. Totally. Spoiler alert. This fucking show is almost over.
And here's Hank Azaria.
Primetime and Neon Deion. I'll give it to you, Art, on Deion, because you're the old Niners fan.
The high stepper?
Yeah.
That's like one of my favorite athletes of all time.
Yeah. I think
me and
you
Art do circle jerks over Neon Deion and Bo Jackson
all the time into their diamond turf shoes.
Diamond turf.
Deion Sanders was just he was, I think, the biggest ticket during like the 80s and 90s. Well, it's 90s, just because he was playing baseball. But more or less, like, I think football was his mainstay, even though he played a little bit of baseball. I think Bo Jackson was the athlete that was known for the two sports. But for Dion, he was the first guy that started talking smack. And he always, you know, delivered on game day. And he would slap Jerry Rice. He started punching Jerry Rice. I mean, that was probably a no-no in the NFL. He didn't care. And he would want to do everything. I remember from, you know, his Falcon days to the Niners to the Cowboys and then for the Redskins and then the Ravens. It was just he just couldn't give it up. And then also too, like, what was the NFL draft, like, jokes like last year? What was his nickname or what was his name that he wanted to go back in the draft and see if he could get drafted?
Oh, fuck. It was Leon Sanders.
Yeah.
He wanted to go as.
So, yeah, he just, you know, he brought entertainment to the NFL at a whole new level. And thank God that, you know, they allowed the touchdown dances and all the different moves that he was doing back in the day. Because now he, you know, the No Fun League, he would have not had so much notoriety, I think.
See, I think it would have been awesome if Dion was playing now only because everybody calls him Prime, just for short. So see him go up against Megatron.
Yeah.
It would be Prime versus Megatron.
Megatron was one of my honorable mentions in the sense of, like, I like it. It's cool. For me, he's tall, but I don't know. Is it the colors that they call Megatron? I don't kind of get the whole Megatron thing.
I'm not sure what it means as far. I know, obviously, you know
like
what it
means.
It's
like his
large
frame, but like Megatron in the cartoon, he would turn into a gun.
Yeah.
And I think if you're going to be someone, maybe it's like, maybe, I don't know, I'm getting too technical for Transformers, but it would be like, I don't know, some of the, like, the big the Transformers. I forgot, like, what are some of the big names now? But I mean, nothing
Swoop
call
and Starscream.
Yeah.
Megatron's number 8 on my list, only because it spawned, like you said, it really doesn't make any sense, but it's a great nickname. But it spawned an even better nickname, and that would be for Greg Zuerlein. He became known as Legatron. The kicker for the Rams.
Yes. I love when kickers have nicknames.
Yeah. They also, by the way, they also call him Young Jeezy, like GZ for Greg Zuerlein. That's pretty funny.
I like the Pittsburgh Steelers kicker named Roy Gorilla, who had a fan club called Gorilla's Gorillas. That's so stupid and random. But I fucking love it.
All right, so we're on to 8 now?
Yeah.
For me, Ironhead Hayward.
Ironhead Hayward.
And here's the thing. It's not really because of the football. I mean, obviously, he would, you know, ram into the end zone with his big, you know, melon of a head.
It's a terrible idea.
Yeah, but I think it was the commercials with the body loofah or whatever.
Uh-huh.
That's why he's, like, number 8. It's like, hey, Ironhead, what's with this thingy? Shut up, fool. I'm getting, you know, clean or something. I love it.
That was a good impression. That was
yeah, thanks.
I thought he was in the room.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Hey, Ironhead, what's with this thingy? That's all I got to say about that. Next.
Next, 8.
I love, and I've never heard this until I started doing the research. We all know Adrian Peterson, they call him All Day, or AD. But
AP.
Apparently he's also known in the Minnesota circles as Purple Jesus.
Purple Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah. I've never heard that before.
Woo.
And then, that's fucking awesome.
Again, another great nickname that spawned another great nickname known as Clipboard Jesus.
Clipboard Jesus.
Clipboard Jesus is...
I know Touchdown Jesus in Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Clipboard.
Clipboard Jesus is a backup quarterback. Whitehurst.
Charlie Whitehurst. Yeah.
Charlie Whitehurst is known as Clipboard Jesus. It's fucking fantastic. All right, what's your 7?
My 7 is Christian Okoye, the Nigerian Nightmare.
Yeah, I love that one.
Straight up racist. Think,
yeah, when we were doing your NFL draft, Mike, and I was emceeing that thing for you.
Yeah.
Who brought up the posters, like the NFL posters, because we were talking about that?
Greg,
like, remember Christian Okoye?
Yeah.
He looked like Freddy Krueger, and like it was like the Chargers, the Broncos, and the Raiders were all like in bed, like, you know, being scared because he had the glove on and like he had like the hat. It wasn't even like a fedora. It was kind of like some like a Dick Tracy hat, you know?
Yeah, it had a little tag in it that said press. It was like one of those hats.
Could you imagine having this guy like, all right, we're going to dress you up, and you're going to be like this... this horror film icon, huh?
Yeah.
What?
Right. Just not getting it. Not understanding what's happening. And he played on the Chiefs, right? He was a running back for the Chiefs.
Great googly moogly.
Yeah. I'm surprised that they haven't really played up Tamba Ali's nickname. At least his nickname in college was the Terror from Teaneck, or the Teaneck Terror, or something like that. You could totally get a Terror. It's a Terror. My seven is this, the running back tandem of Brandon Jacobs, Ahmad Bradshaw, and I don't even remember fucking Ward's first name. Which one? What was Ward's first name?
Charlie.
No, it was Charlie Ward. They were known as Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah.
Yes. As the three-headed running back tandem for the Giants.
Because your favorite month was September.
True. Yeah, after September, they sucked.
Yeah.
They had the nickname for the one guy. And then, or one or two of them, and then they were just like, "Yeah, you're Earth," to Jacobs. And they're like, "Yeah, you're Earth. You're like the kid that has the heart ring in Captain Planet." Like, it's just like, "Yeah, it's a terrible nickname, but here you go."
That's awesome.
What was your seven there, Jay?
Seven, Jay. Yeah.
My next one, going back. This one I have a personal connection to, and I'm going to go with the nickname Sweet Feet.
Sweet Feet. Who was Sweet Feet? I don't remember that.
That was, of course, Rudy Huxtable on The Cosby Show. An episode, famous episode where she played football that I was a co-star in.
You do have a co-star.
Sweet Feet. Sweet Feet. Dude, she was fucking sick. She's the greatest female running back of all time. She's in the Hall of Fame.
She is?
No. Her mustache is, though.
I think of Allen Iverson. Just because I like, he's my favorite comic book character, Brian Dawkins, Weapon X.
Yes.
Hard-hitting, game-changing play style, and for him to bring out his claws during the game, it's great.
Weapon. Didn't they also call him just X-Man?
I think that's wrestling. That's X-Pop.
Is that Xavier McDaniels?
Yeah. Yes, that's the... Yes.
Call him the X-Man.
NBA, yeah.
Yeah. Fucking loved his role in, what was that, Reality Bites?
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that? The scene where the dude's having sex, and he's trying not to come early. So he just starts thinking about basketball. Also, he's thinking about a post-game interview with Xavier McDaniels. You know, remember that? It's a fucking great scene because he's like, they're doing the whole post-game interview. Yeah, you know, it was really tough down there in the boards, but we got the job done. You know, we're hustling back on defense, which is really good. And, you know, hopefully we'll just take it one game at a time. We'll get back out there. And he's like, and the announcer goes, anything else you want to say there, X-Man? And he goes, yeah, Steve, don't come yet.
That.
You don't remember that? Oh, it's
that,
a fucking great
be
scene.
One of the best cameos by an athlete.
Yeah.
Right after Anna Kournikova in, what was that, Dumb and Dumber?
Me, Myself, and Irene?
No, Me, Myself, and Irene.
Yeah.
What was that all about?
I have no idea.
So random.
Yeah.
Who's up?
I am. For all the bros out there, here's my next one. Here you go, brah. Now, next one is Matty Ice for Matt Ryan. It's for all the bros out there, popping a nice cold Matty Ice. That was totally a fucking pop collar. Somebody with a pop collar definitely made up that nickname.
You know what? I never realized that was a reference to Natty Ice until now.
Now?
Nope. Never got that.
There you go.
And it was funny, too, because everybody was saying that, you know, they turned that around on Fox or whatever because, you know, Fox does the NFC games because he played in Boston College and, you know, he had ice in his veins. Nope.
No. What a bunch of fucking morons.
I never noticed that. I never caught that.
Yeah. No, but I love how they do that. Like, we're not going to associate that with beer.
Yeah, we got to get around that whole Bud Light sponsorship thing.
Yeah.
We can't say any other beer names.
Pretty good. This was another one I never knew of until I was doing some research here, but it just really stuck out on this list. Guy's name was Leonard Weaver, played for the Eagles in the 80s, and apparently his nickname is the Face Cleaver.
Leonard Weaver, the Face Cleaner.
Cleaver. Now, speaking of dressing up a guy as a horror movie icon for a poster, what does that poster look like?
It was just a commentary on his horrible, horrible acne.
Oh, yeah. 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 Oh, no. No, he wasn't in the 80s. Sorry, he was born in the 80s. He was an Eagle until recently. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, last couple of years. He retired last year officially.
Never heard of that cat.
Me neither. But that's what's amazing, to have such a crazy nickname.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a fullback. So, like, I don't even understand whose faces he was cleaving. What, his blocks were so powerful for another guy who can run faster? Like, that he was literally slicing people's faces in half? I don't even understand.
I don't understand. It's just the age old nickname of let's find something that rhymes with your name. And that's, and I would like to segue into my next pick, which is actually two picks because of that exact thing. The whole rhyming scheme, Cam Chancellor, the touchdown canceller.
Oh, that's awful.
And Stephen Baker, the touchdown maker. Fucking perfect. All three of those.
Your candlestick maker.
Great. But Cam Chancellor, the touchdown canceller. It was the fucking greatest. That is the...
That is horrible.
Whew.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if I'm going to make it.
All right, what's your next?
The Amish rifle.
Yes, that almost made my
list. Oh, that would
be
Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick. Or, yes. Or Patrick Fitzryan, you know, that old chestnut.
Oh, and the funny thing about that is, like, the Bills gave him a whole chunk of change because that, like,
ton.
The first few games, like, here you go.
Yeah.
He had another pretty good nickname as well. What the hell was it? I think it was
Fitzy
more.
Fitzy touchdowns?
No.
Beardo? I don't know.
I think it was a derogatory one. I'm going to have to look that up.
Something about him going to Harvard, and then they throw something in there with that? I don't know.
The Harvard Charvard?
Oh, it was Ryan the Nerd.
The Nerd? Oh, yeah, because he went to Harvard.
That cuts deep, Trek.
Man, that's clever, guys.
No, that wasn't it. My number five is, you know, I had to have at least one Miami Dolphins one in here.
Sure.
Yes.
And
are you a Dolphins fan or are you a Titans fan?
No, I'm back to the Dolphins.
Okay.
I gave them the Titans a couple years back.
All right.
So I could go with the Marx Brothers, which is the Mark Duper, Mark Clayton combo.
Yes.
Did Mark Duper legally change his middle name to Super?
Yes, I believe he did.
His name is fucking Mark Super Duper. That's hilarious. That's a great nickname in
like
and of
a
itself.
Wet dump after a long beer binge.
Actually, he might have changed his first name to Super, honestly.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's a good move.
So I know he signs his autographs with that.
Yeah.
I can't remember if I got his or Mark Clayton's at the Marino induction. I don't know. Either way. So I'm going to forego that one because it's not very clever. And I'm going to go with something super clever, which is the Miami Pound Machine.
That's the first openly gay running back.
No, this was
for the team.
This was the nickname for their defense in the 80s.
That's a good one.
Yeah, which, you know, won all those Super Bowls.
Yeah, right. But the other teams better watch out because the rhythm is going to get you.
Well, I have, in defense, I mean, it's shitty, but I just like
defense.
It for whatever reason.
Yep.
Yeah, see what I did there?
Yep.
It's twice today. You guys keep track at home.
Got him.
I will give a shout out to the New York Sack Exchange, which is a good, that's a good fucking, that's better. It's better. But
that's
I'm not going to give the Jets a...
No. I prefer Gangrene. I think that's better. That's more clever than New York Sack Exchange, honestly.
I do like New York Sack Exchange, though. It's pretty good.
Yeah,
Certainly better than Big Blue Wrecking Crew.
Yeah, it's just, again, the rhyming. we have to rhyme, guys. I'm a poet, and I don't even know that I am one, guys. Right? I love some of the team names, the team nicknames, or like the, you know, for the defensive line, or the greatest show on turf. For the amazing offense that the Rams had. That's a great fucking
That
nickname.
Is a good one. Steel Curtain's good.
Steel Curtain, you gotta love. Monsters of the Midway.
Monsters of the Midway, yes. Classic.
Yep. Yeah, fucking great.
And then Monsters of the Midway has been, like, stolen, like, a billion times over.
Of course. And my next pick for my list here is a member of the Monsters of the Midway, and that would be Samurai Mike.
Samurai Mike.
I'm Samurai Mike, and I stop him cold. Part of the defense, big and bold. I'm not even a fucking Bears fan. I know every goddamn word of that fucking song.
Nice.
I'm the pokey QB, knows as McMahon.
As McMahon. I ain't got no plan.
My name is Sweetness, and I like to dance. Running the ball is like making romance.
Like Gary, what was it? Gary Bell. Wait. Who?
Glitter?
Gary Bell or dude's name? It was like that white guy. It was like, I call me Larry Bell. I was like, what are you like? He didn't even like his song. His like lyrics didn't even rhyme.
My name's Gary Bell, and I like some cheese. You know, it's just like what? Yeah, Samurai Mike is a fucking great nickname.
Well, going with that, my fourth one is the Fridge.
The Fridge. I have three Bears actually on my list here. The Fridge is one of them for sure.
Yep. Yeah, I got that one. And you probably got the same one. You probably have
Wheatness.
Yep, number two for me.
Oh, what a great fucking nickname.
Yep.
Sweetness. That's so, it's actually almost elegant.
Yes.
It's almost an elegant nickname. It's fucking great.
And just for the longevity of that guy playing in the 70s and 80s, it was like ridiculous.
I don't particularly like nicknames that can be used by other people. Like the whole big thing about LT.
Oh, like LaDainian Tomlinson. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they started using it for LaDainian Tomlinson. I think they should have called LaDainian Tomlinson the Great Dane from the get-go. That was my nickname for him. Just like I had Coco B. Jacobs for Brandon Jacobs. I don't know why.
Yes.
That was my nickname for him. It just didn't take off. I make up some nicknames for people sometimes.
Why don't you make one up for Art real quick?
Okay, we're going to call him Art High Tops Eddie. I like
or
it.
The one you thought about earlier today.
Yeah,
A3.
Like A-Tray.
A-Tray. A-Tray.
Art Eddie the third. A-Tray.
Yeah. A-Tray or A3. I like it. I like A-Tray. A-Tray's good. A-Tray.
A-E3.
A-E3.
My number four is going with a place, a stadium. Going with the Lambeau Field, a.k.a. the Frozen Tundra.
Nice.
That's good.
I fucking love that. That's so perfect.
Yes, it is. Is anyone or anyone you know have ever been to a game at Green Bay? I would love to go there. A
couple people have, and it's just ridiculous.
I would love to go there. I hear it's just incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, everything just shuts down in that town, and it's all you're there for.
Sweet.
Oh, Ryan Fitzpatrick was called Fitzmagic.
Clever, guys. Clever.
My number three for my favorite team, Joe Cool, Joe Montana.
I actually really like that nickname a lot.
Just because it obviously
they just
fit
stole
him.
It from Peanuts, though.
Yeah, but still fucking cool.
It's like all of them, if you think about it. Sweetness.
Yeah.
That was Pigpen's one. No, but Joe Cool, just obviously, you know, under pressure, just
he was.
Chill.
He was the coolest guy ever. You ever hear that story about... About John Candy?
Yeah. Well, when I did interview Montana, I asked him about that. I'm like, is that a wise tale or is that really happening? And he said Harris Barton through the whole season will be like, hey, check out so-and-so throughout like the regular games.
Yeah.
And then
in the crowd.
Yeah, in the crowd. Like, hey, look who's there. Look who's there. So halfway through the game, he notices John Candy. And he's like, he's waiting for Barton to say this. Like, hey, waiting. And well, then
was
right
like
before
in a playoff
that,
game at like an important moment or something.
It
like
was
that,
the Super Bowl against the Bengals.
Super Bowl.
It was the drive right before they scored the touchdown. Like the Disney people were with Boomer Esiason getting ready to say, I'm going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And, you know, Joe marched the team down and they got the victory with John Taylor's touchdown in the end zone. But he said, like, during that TV timeout, they already had to play in. And he goes, Barton, why don't you point out John Candy over there? He's like, huh? And they all look, and they're like, all right, cool. And then everybody was just chill, and they just went down and scored a touchdown. I'm like, was that true? He's like, yep. Everything, that was 100% true. I was like, that's awesome.
That's fucking great. Yeah. Did you see the picture that I posted after the Patriots lost?
No.
It was a picture of, like, Montana with all of his Super Bowl rings.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, with... Brady has the most wins.
Caption was like, oh, Brady, you have the most playoff wins? That's cute. Or that's adorable or something. Yeah. And he just got all his rings. That's funny.
Did you see the other one with him down a water slide, Brady, and his whole thing? Like, you know that the image of him just like he's sitting on the ground looking down?
Yeah.
He's at the end of a water slide just stuck on the bottom of it.
I love those. I love when people do that.
All right. Who's got number three for the Jay?
I'm going with another epic one. I think we mentioned it already. The Galloping Ghost. Did we say that one already?
No.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Awesome.
Rod Grange. Is that his name? I think it was. I don't even know who the guy is. I don't know anything about the guy.
Harold Grange. Red Grange. Because like they said no one could catch him.
Right. But that's
so he's
just
slippery like a ghost.
That fucking nickname is just epic. The Galloping Ghost. Like,
yes.
Fuck.
And also pointing out the fact that he's white.
Yes.
So again.
And also in the KKK.
Gasper.
And yes. There's been a couple of white, like, nicknames specifically for white people.
What about Cracker Carl Cox?
Oh, yeah.
White Lightning.
White Lightning. Have you heard of the Albino Rhino? The Albino Rhino, it was actually two people got nicknamed that, Peyton Hillis and Toby Gerhart.
What nice. About Grand Dragon Danny White?
John Kuhn was actually be called the Packer Cracker.
The Packer Cracker. That's fucking perfect.
What about Caucasian Chris Jones? What about, oh, dude, my favorite kicker from the Dolphins. They called him the White Russian, Pete Stojanovic. No, I just made that up.
The White Russian.
What about Milky Mark Mayweather? What about, what about Pasty Pete Johnson?
What about Charles Milky Way?
There you go.
Pasty Pete Johnson. Oh, right, boy.
Where were we?
Okay. I don't know. Where were we? Three? Four? Mine is definitely one of my favorite nicknames just because of what he does and what his name is. Run DMC, Darren McFadden.
Yes.
Fucking nice. Love that. That's a great, clever, and perfect nickname.
That's you a know, good one.
Obviously, he's a running back. He runs, and his initials are DMC, Darren
McFadden. I like the original sport nickname back in the day of like the Run DMC kind of moniker. It was Run TMC.
Who was that?
That was for the three stars at the Golden State Warriors, Chris Mullen, Tim Hardaway, and Mitch Richmond.
Nice.
Yeah.
Triple J Ranch.
Yeah.
What about my? That goes with one of my other favorite nicknames of all time is AK-47, Andrei Karolenko, who wore number 47. I think that's fantastic. And he was Russian, which was a Russian gun.
Nice.
That's an amazing nickname.
That works on all levels.
Yeah.
I love that even when like, they incorporate stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like when they call Christian Laettler Creamy Christian.
Creamy Christian.
Yeah.
What? That was the time he jizzed in his pants before that girl even stuck his hand down there. Another clever one that deserves a mention is the electric company.
Yes.
And that was the Bills offensive line in the 70s because they turned on the juice.
Yep.
They fucking opened up all the holes for the juice to flow.
Menthol James.
I get it.
Actually called him Menthol James.
And then they were known as the
Smoked
parole board.
The defense. Am I right, folks?
Yeah.
Oof. And they were known as the evidence erasers.
Yes.
The glovies.
The co-conspirators.
My number two we already did. That was Neon Dion. Prime
my
time.
My number two was Sweetness.
Sweetness.
And what was your two, Mike?
Law firm.
That's my number one.
Is it?
Yes.
Perfect.
Nice.
Ben Jarvis.
Did Chris Berman coin
Green
that
Ellis.
For Ben Jarvis Green Ellis?
I don't know. I thought it was a team.
Yeah, I thought it was a Patriots
team. Yeah, I thought the team made that.
Okay. Either way, it's fucking great because it does sound like the name of a law firm.
Yeah, it does. It does.
I love a name that has nothing to do like with what. It's just a clever play on words, kind of. Mm-hmm. But that's like that goes deep. Like someone really had to think about that one. I appreciate it.
Like KGB.
What's that one for?
What the fuck's his name? I don't even remember his name.
Jogaga Bamamila.
Yeah.
But why is it clever aside from it's his initials? Is he Russian?
No.
He's very black.
Yeah. So then why is it clever?
Because KGB.
KGB, just
it's
like cool. The law firm.
That would just be like us calling you AE. It's not clever at all.
That's what you guys just did.
The law firm. It's his name sounds like something else.
It's not just
his initials.
I'm going to let you guys go at this. Go ahead.
What about JPP?
Which JPP?
It's also his initials. That's also his initials.
Or how about JJ Watt's one is JJ Swat?
Oh.
I'm so ready for that commercial to not be on the air anymore.
1.21 JJ Watts.
There you go.
That's what it should have been.
What about
do you write for
Breezes?
Chris Berman? Is that what's going on here?
No.
What about Breezes?
Breezes
is good.
Young Breezes?
Young Breezy. Drew Breeze has like a million fucking nicknames.
Yeah.
I call him Birthmark Breeze.
Birthmark Breeze?
Breeze Mark.
Breeze
Markey.
That's a good one.
He got what New Orleans needs.
Breeze Markey.
A 1-2?
Dude, Breeze Markey. I'm going with that from now on.
Nice. I would be remiss if I didn't mention this one. I think this one should be my 1.5. And that would be the Minister of Defense.
Yes.
Reggie White. Fucking yeah. Perfect nickname. Oh,
that is a good one.
I also have a few that didn't make the cut.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
So wait, just before we do that, everybody's number one is what? Mine's Primetime.
Mine's a law firm.
Mine's okay. Fucking Jared Lorenzen. The abominable right. Throw man. The round mound of touchdown.
So I think the number one will be the face cleaver.
Face cleaver. Well, no, you had the law firm at number two, Mike, right?
Yes, I did.
Although I had Neon Dion at number two.
Uh-oh.
So did we'll go have... with face cleaver.
Did you have Neon Dion? Wait, you had Neon Dion on yours, right, Mike, or no?
I did. He was my, what did I say, seven?
So that's it. So Art has him at one, I have him at two, and you have him at seven. Nobody else has three on their list.
No, did you? You didn't have Walter Payton or anybody? You didn't have any of the Bears?
I did not have Walter Payton, no.
Okay.
So there it is. Neon Dion, Primetime.
Two nicknames.
Numero uno.
I have a couple that didn't make the list. Seabass for Sebastian Janikowski.
Yes.
Nice.
Henry Hinoceros Hinoski.
Also Beast. Known as the Hymenator.
Yes, yes. Beast Mode for Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I think that's a fucking good one. Brett Cheese Dick Favre. Peyton Eyeball Cancer Manning. Javon, we've taken your son curse. Dante, paper cut on the webbing of your fingers, Culpepper. Tim Murphy Brown and John Wet Fart Elway.
All right.
Those ones didn't make the cut. They were good, but...
I enjoy Ed Too Tall Jones.
Ed Too Tall Jones.
I guess it's just
mean
so
Joe
obvious.
Green.
Deacon Jones.
Deacon Jones.
Bubba Smith. I always enjoy anyone who can really rock the Bubba.
Yes.
And, of course, Police Academy. I liked when they called when both the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Green Bay Packers both sucked. They used to call them the Bay of Pigs for both teams.
Or the funny. Aints for the Saints.
Yeah.
The Aints.
Or the 40 Winers.
40 Giners.
That's your favorite. You love
oh
that one.
Oh boy.
How about Casey Hampton, aka Big Snack?
Big Snack.
He's a fat ass.
There's some dude now called Pot Roast.
Yeah. Really? For the Broncos, yeah.
Yeah, for the Broncos. His nickname's Pot Roast, which is a fucking fantastic nickname.
What about Jake Daylight Coming? You gotta get the loam.
Ugh. No. I hate all the ones Berman comes up with.
So stupid.
I hate
Golden like Graham. Oh boy.
Oh, God.
David Wilson, it's Dynamic Uno.
Yes.
That's awesomely fucking narcissistic.
Oh, I had a good
I like Fred X for Freddie Mitchell.
Yep.
Because he always delivered.
What about Captain Checkdown?
Who's that for again?
Trent Edwards.
All right.
Jesus.
Because he would always throw off to like the running back at a tight end because he couldn't find anybody open.
Trent Edwards.
Sounds like a politician.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Trent Edwards. We're a fucking Anchorman.
Vote for me. Trent Edwards, your county coroner.
The ageless wonder.
Who's that?
Daryl Green.
Didn't they call Terry Bradshaw like the blonde bombshell or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Now he's bald.
Curtis, my favorite Martin.
Another Berman one. Ugh. Fucking hate that. The only Berman one I liked was... Sleeping with Bienemy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only fucking one I liked. All the other ones were fucking terrible.
Got a shout out to 72 Dolphins and No Name Defense. The anti nickname.
That's cool. Yeah.
The anti nickname. That's very hipster of them. We didn't even want a nickname. We're just going to be fucking defense. Bird. We were defense before it was cool.
What about the Hoosh?
Oh, DJ Hoosh Mazada?
Yep.
Does Chad Ochocinco count as a nickname? Do you count that as a nickname?
It's his real name, so.
Plus no, he changed it back to Johnson.
He changed it back.
Yeah. Plus, he gave it to himself. Like, you can't give yourself a nickname.
No, you can't do that.
It's fucking stupid.
Especially because, like, somebody like, who's the fucking asshole that he had nicknamed Honey Badger? And they was like, no, I don't want that anymore. He wants to be known as this. And they're like, nope, guess what? You're Honey Badger.
Tyrone Mathieu.
Yeah, Tyrone Mathieu. He's like, no, I don't want to be called that anymore. Like, nope, you're stuck with it. Like, fucking yep. Pac-Man Jones. Like, everybody, nobody's calling him anything other than Pac-Man Jones for the rest
what
of his life.
What about the Inconvenient Truth?
Oh, Frank Gore?
Yeah.
The Truth. They also call him just The Truth.
Yeah.
How about He Hate Me? Famous one.
He hate me. Yep.
Silly. I do miss the XFL though.
And what was the dude You know the dude that was on Monday Night Football recently, and he said that, you know how they do all the thing where, like, what school they went to? And he said he went to Hogwarts.
Hogwarts?
I don't know, but I love when they do that shit.
That was genius. But apparently, like, he's made up nicknames for himself. Like, he's done that several times, where he's done, like, a Shaq thing where he'd be like, yeah, call me the Kraken and stuff. Like, he's got a whole bunch. And Frodo, I think he has said, call himself one time.
Like, when someone says they went to Player University.
Fucking great.
I fucking love when they fuck with that shit.
That Key and Peele sketch is amazing. The East versus West.
Oh,
if,
yeah.
If you haven't seen it, fucking see it. It's amazing.
That was Greg Hardy who said the Hogwarts.
Hogwarts. Look up his nicknames, his self-proclaimed nicknames.
Yeah, Kraken from Hogwarts.
Yeah, Kraken from Hogwarts.
What about the Meast?
Who's that?
Sean Taylor.
The Meast?
Half man, half beast.
Ew.
Stupid. So this guy said, it's just the Kraken. Mystical. It's where he lives at.
Have you ever heard Andre Johnson be called the Natural?
Nope.
Never.
Never. And that doesn't even make any sense. His name's
not... He doesn't play for the Knights.
There's no Roys or Hobbs in his name.
That's where. Yeah. Terrell Suggs also once said, Ball So Hard University.
Ball So Hard?
Chris Johnson from the Titans was also known as Light Blue Jesus.
Light Blue Jesus, yeah. Or CJ2K.
Ugh. Yeah, I think Purple was, Jesus was a playoff that.
The Rocket.
The Rocket Ishmael.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to someone way more awesome than all three of us.
Yeah, Hank Azaria for the save. Here you go.
Cam Chancellor, the touchdown canceller. Here he is.
Hey, everybody. It's Art with Mike and Jay. How you guys doing?
Hello. Good.
And on the line, we have the extreme pleasure to bring on Hank Azaria. You can check out his new web series on AOL about fatherhood. Thanks for taking the time, Hank. How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm freezing in New York, but other than that, I'm okay.
We're right here with you.
Yeah.
We're right here with you, bud.
Yep. But let's talk about the series, you know, that you started now. It's a really good series. Two of us have kids, and I love the journey that you're going into. And, you know, the whole thing was starting about just picking your friends' brains about parenthood. And then all of a sudden, you guys are expecting. And, of course, it was like a no-brainer to shift focus to your journey. But did you ever kind of maybe think, like, twice about actually going that angle? Or what was your thoughts on that?
You know, yeah. I mean, it changed so much over the course of a bunch of years. It started out, like you said, just asking dads, why did you do this? It seems insane to me. And then getting pregnant, then it's shifted to, oh, I'm going to be a father. Please help me because I'm terrified. I didn't want it to be like an overshare. I didn't want to be like some reality series about my family, but I had real questions that I wondered if other dads did and real fears that I wondered if other dads did. And it didn't seem like men talk about this too much. So, look, because I produce it, I can control it in the editing room, so I can make sure that, you know, I'm not oversharing in front of America, basically.
Did you find the answers that you were getting from your friends, as far as, like, when you were asking them all different things about fatherhood, did you find some of them shocking?
I'll tell you one thing a guy said that was a little shocking. He was like, I would kind of jokingly ask, like, who do you love more, your wife or your kid? And he go, oh, you're kidding, my kids. He's like, you know, my kids are my flesh and blood. My wife is, you know, is somebody I met at the bar.
Who said that?
But that person shall remain nameless.
Don't end it up on the cutting room floor, I guess.
Actually, that was not on camera. I wish that was on camera. He wasn't that stupid to say that on camera.
How soon was it from when you started filming to when you guys found out you were expecting?
I would say about six to nine months, somewhere in there. Somewhere in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Was that a total surprise to you guys, or were you trying?
Oh, dude, total.
Really?
Total. In fact, we were shooting stuff, and I had a dog. My dear old dog, Annie, was 16 years old and really starting to die. And we were shooting that because we had cameras and that's what was going on. And at the end, I don't know if you ever had like an old animal you taking care of, but she was blind and deaf and senile, dumb. She never could talk, but senile. And I was like hand feeding her. And I was like, wow, this is ironic. She's like a child. I'm taking care of this dog. Look, it's like it's a kid. And the day that the dog died, we found out we were pregnant. I mean, it was the same day.
In fact, my son,
totally, you know, we needed the little baboon there, Rafiki, to come and lift me up. And if it was really, if it was a girl, if my son were born a girl, I was going to name him Annie, much to my mother's chagrin. Like, you can't name your child after your dog, but I was going to do it.
Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
I love the fact your take on the Terrible Twos in the documentary. You said, you know, they're not that bad, but when they turn three, they turn into velociraptors. In the second episode, you see, like, you know, you're in your center playing with the trains and all that, and you're like, yeah, maybe you shouldn't do that. And he just, like, destroys, like, the whole little village and all that. For you, I know that you've been getting advice from other people, but what's your best defense when you see these tantrums or just kind of, like, his destructive mode start?
Well, with tantrums, I mean, I got to, you know, listen, I don't know about you guys, but I found them very daunting handling that. I didn't want to, like, flip out. I didn't want to make a mistake, and I also wanted to keep my own sanity. And I mean, one of the main things is you can't give in to a tantrum. You can't give them what they are wanting when they're tantruming, because then they learn the lesson. There is, if you flip out, you get what you want. If you don't want them doing that. You also don't want to respond to a tantrum with a tantrum. You don't want to be emotional in the face of the tantrum, and you want to do certain things to head on. That said, you can't give in, but. You know, look, you know, you want to pick your battles. You want to do, you know, you want to do certain things to head off tantrums. If you know they're coming, like transitioning a kid is a big deal, meaning instead of just saying, okay, got to go. when they're doing something that they want to do, you say, hey, buddy, in 5 minutes, we got to get going. Finish up what you're doing, because in 2 minutes, we got to get out of here. Because if you think about it, you wouldn't like it. If you were, like, in the middle of doing something you liked, and I just said, hey, goodbye. No. You'd be like, wait a minute, can I, like, at least, like, you know, finish what I'm doing?
Yeah.
But, man, it takes a lot of practice. And I found that, you know, asking people how they handle it and asking experts and other dads who seem to do it well, I mean, why not, you know, get advice on how to do this?
Hey, Hank, speaking of fatherhood, I'm here. I'm home from work today with my daughter who's sick and has the flu. And we just... started Smurfs 2 yet again for the second time in a row this morning, and she just ran away, and she's in shock that I'm talking to Gargamel on the phone right now.
Well, tell her that if she doesn't behave, I'm going to get her. Right?
She just ran to the couch.
No, I'm serious. I'm not kidding. I'm real, and I will do serious harm to children. I'm sorry.
You were fantastic in those movies, by the way, man. I love them. They're so much fun.
Thank you. And the goal with those was to try to, you know, have mom and dad, as they're sitting there for an hour and a half through the Smurfs movie, not kill themselves.
Oh. I was such a huge Smurfs fan as a kid.
So far, I have not heard of any deaths. So I really knocked it out of the park on that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you watch the movies with your kid, and you're like, oh, we got to watch this again. Just speaking of advice, too, you said – Kevin Bacon, I read an article that you were in an interview. They said that he's given you, like, a ton of great advice. What are some of the things that he's given you that you still kind of use or that you know, kind of have in the back of your mind?
He was really wise. Bryan Cranston was. Tim Robbins was. Bacon, before I had a kid, he said, the phases will drive you crazy. The phases of childhood. Whether you love them or hate them. They're going to pass. He said that's what they don't say in the books. It's like whatever you're going through, including like the tantrum phase, they stop tantruming after a while. And you're better off handling them well than handling them not well. But even if you don't handle them well, they're going to pass. And even, you know, the stuff you like when my son was two, he was like a cherub. He was just completely angelic. And then, like, the second he turned three, he kind of became maniacal.
Yep.
But, you know, love it or hate it, it's not going to last. And when you look at it that way, it helps you appreciate the good times and, you know that the bad times are not going to last forever.
Yeah.
Both my kids bad at three, too. Same thing.
Yeah, right? Either two or three, they're going to flip out.
Yeah.
They're going to exert their will, and that's, yep. You know, not going to be fun.
Three is the velociraptor stage, in my opinion.
Agreed.
I enjoy this conversation mainly because these two guys have kids. I don't. I will be, you know, venturing into that soon, I hope. But I listened to an interview you had the other day with Ron Bennington, and one of the things you were talking about, I understand that your wife had a pretty difficult pregnancy. But the one thing that I wanted to know is, that is like, to me, that's like the most scariest time, I think. And if you could give me one piece of advice to look out for, what would it be during the pregnancy?
Oh, boy. look, I think that the pregnancy can be as much for the dad as the mom, meaning you've got 9 months to kind of can I curse?
Yeah, absolutely.
Could you get your shit together? I mean, on the show, not in real life. I assume I can curse in my own life. You guys,
I'm doing earmuffs over my daughter. Zero. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
it gives you your daughter's there. 9 months to get your caca together.
Okay.
In whatever way you need to. And that's, you know, whether you want to read up. We took classes. You know, we did all kinds of things. And, but also, you know, if your wife has any kind of a medical situation, anything that they would call an at-risk pregnancy, err on the side of caution, err on the side of, like, I think that, you know, in our society, we're kind of overly doctored and, you know, overly, hot, you know, billed for this and that medical thing we may or may not need, but with a pregnancy, don't kid around. Like, you know, if you can tolerate it, err on the side of caution with it. And look, my wife had the classic, like, pregnancy with cravings and just wacky things went on. She's sitting right here, so I can't say too much now. but expect, you know, that they're not going to quite be in their right minds throughout all of that.
Yeah.
And don't take any of it personally. It's just, you know, their hormones are going insane.
Nice.
But never mention that.
No, but don't point it out at the time.
Right.
Last question about the series before, obviously, we're going to get into a little maybe Spamlot and Simpson stuff. What can we expect from the upcoming episodes in your series on AOL?
Well, each week we deal with everything. Like today, actually, I think is a release. We're releasing an episode called The Good Enough Parent, which is about mistakes you might make as a father or a mother, and how to handle them, and the fact that everybody is going to make them, and some hilarious anecdotes from guys sharing their worst mistake that they thought they made as a father, and some experts weighing in on how to approach, you know, it's something you know you're going to do imperfectly, for sure. And, you know, I found that very nerve-wracking because I didn't want to make any mistakes raising my son. But you're definitely going to. So that's what this episode's about. We get into generations, the difference between how we were raised and how we raise our kids. I noticed a definite difference between how my dad approached it and I approach it with my son. Being a kid with your kid, like, you know, being a friend to your child versus being a parent, being a disciplinarian. I found these are all topics, by the way, that personally interested me, that okay. I found challenging, you know, that I ran into, like, wow, how do you handle this? Getting your kid to go to sleep, this entire episode.
Oh, it's the worst.
Birds and the bees. We, you know, my son at an early age asked us where he came from, and it was a ridiculous conversation, and not only dads sharing how they handle it with their kids, but the insane way that the people's fathers approach this with them was worth a whole episode of just nice. This sex conversation.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, keep on doing the series, man. It's very intriguing. It's very interesting, man.
Well, I'm glad you like it. Yeah, I love it. I get a lot. I'd be asking these questions whether I was shooting it, filming it or not.
Yeah.
So I get a ton out of it. I really enjoy it.
Sweet. All right, Mike, we're all big Simpsons fans, but I think Mike is, you know, takes the cake for it. So, Mike, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, huge. I mean, I know for me, you're one of the best, like, character actors, voices pound for pound than anybody, man. You got the amount of voices and characters you come up with on for The Simpsons as well as for movies and movie roles and everything. Where do most of these come from? How do you develop a voice?
They're voices I've heard, you know, either they're voices of celebrities that I like to imitate or family members or friends or store owners or wherever, just anything I've heard. I mimic it. Sometimes I'm mimicking it very exactly. Sometimes it's just kind of my version of it. But, I'm a mimic at heart, and it starts there, right?
And out of all the characters on The Simpsons, which one do you feel closest to?
I feel closest to Mo the bartender. Because I used to be a bartender.
Ah.
I feel that, you know, if I didn't, I wasn't on The Simpsons, I might still be a bartender.
Really?
So, Mo's from Queens. And my wife's being really loud, and I'm telling you. Hey, down, sweetheart. I'm on a podcast here. Mo is from New York. I don't know. I feel my closest to Mo. I feel Mo is like, if I wasn't lucky enough to have success in showbiz, I feel I would be somehow very close to Mo, my actual personality.
Awesome. Me as well. He's my favorite. I got one more, and then I think we want to try to do something real quick. I had the pleasure of playing your role in Spamalot. You were obviously Lancelot in the first run, and I actually looked out at a lot of tape of you doing it then to try to get some.
Wait, where did you do this?
It was Broadway. Community theater here in North Jersey.
Oh, excellent. Oh, yeah. It's fun. I'm guessing you're a Python fan. How much fun was it to do that?
Unbelievable, dude.
It was really good.
Yeah, these guys came to see it, which was fun too, because we got to joke about it afterwards. Really loved your adaptation of it, and I'll wholeheartedly admit that I stole a couple of things from you to do the role. But I was curious as to, because you took the role being a Python fan, and also you're taking the role of John Cleese. How much did you take anything from him? Did you kind of look at that, or did you try to leave the movie as a separate entity completely?
Oh no, I tried to. I felt for something like that, I tried to mimic it as closely as I could. I wanted to recreate, you know, the voice, the mannerisms as exactly as I could.
Yes.
And try to. And then, you know, with stuff like that, there's, I'm like, John Cleese is such a genius. If I could actually really mimic John Cleese, I'd be more successful than I am. and the things that he can do, like with his body and his voice, that I literally cannot do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure you discovered this, sometimes you try to do an exact imitation as you can, but you just can't. It comes out differently.
Yep.
Through you. And it's either not funny when you do it, or like things that I do, if somebody else tries to do, are not going to be funny. If other people do, if I try to do them, I'm not going to be funny doing them. But no, I tried to sound as much like the Mean Knight as I could, which is actually Palin. Tried to sound as much like the French Taunter as I could, yep. You know.
Yeah, that French Taunter scene, I actually went back to the movie and tried to mimic word for word for that, because I felt that that's such an iconic scene that it deserves the respect to try, you know, do it as such.
Yeah, you're not going to improve on that, I don't think.
Right, exactly. Just a couple actors talking shop. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry. Excuse us.
I'm good though. We can try to wrap it up.
Oh, I just wanted to see, since you already did the Mo voice for you once, if we would be remiss to ask to do a quick ID as Mo for our show.
Well, sure. I expect a check, but sure.
Would you just say, it's Mo, and you're listening to the Masters of None, the only guys to come into Mo's Tavern and ask for craft beer and not Duff.
Yeah, this is Mo the bartender, and you're listening to the Masters of None. These are the only guys to come into Mo's Tavern and ask for a craft beer and not a Duff. Bunch of jerks.
Thank you so
awesome.
Much, man.
Yeah, thanks, Hank. Great. Continued success with everything you got going on, and of course The Simpsons, and now this great new series with AOL about fatherhood. Thanks for taking the time, man, and you enjoy your son, all right?
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Hank.
Thanks, man.
Take care.
Okay. Don't forget to leave us a review and rating on iTunes, and join us on Facebook and Twitter at Masters of None. Masters of None is brought to you by Simply Syndicated, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and streaming live on morelikeradio.com.
Check out the website mastersofnone.com. It includes episodes, news, articles, videos, pictures, so much fucking more, man. Check them out. Masters of None. Masters of a fucking excellent domain name, I'll tell you that right now.
Father too many.
You think they had it? Think someone had it, and they were like, "We want that. We gotta get it."
You think they had to buy it?
I would think, man. Like you said, that's a good name.
Unless they got, they were going way far back.
Maybe they got, they saw that.
Maybe they got it. Maybe they got it way back.
How far back?
Way back.
How far are you gonna go back?
Way back, as we go around like this. All right, check them out. Mastersofnone.com.